God, thank you so much for every experience that we may be going through right now. And thank you so much for everything that you're doing in us through everything we're going through, Lord. We again turn to your word to draw wisdom, Lord, to seek your blessing, O God. To, Lord, seek your mind, your plans for us, for each one of us, O God. And thank you so much that you're always faithful to speak to us and to strengthen our hearts. So do it again by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 64, hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Again, as a soldier, David is writing concerned about his safety, especially about the numerous enemies he has around them, around him. They are hiding in secret plots, in their wickedness. And David likens their words to sharp arrows. Bitter words. Their words directed to hurt David. These are men who gather and encourage themselves to do evil. They talk of laying snares secretly. They think nobody sees. They devise iniquities. He says they have perfected their shrewdness, their wickedness. Both the inward thought and the heart are committed to evil. But it changes in verse 7, it says, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. All men fear, shall fear rather, and shall declare the words of God. I was just thinking about the twists and turns of life. Either with a man's view of God or without. I attended a friend's mom's funeral today, and another soberness of the mortality that we all have in us. We'll all die. On the one side, we can live with the consciousness of God and realize that this life on earth has a huge purpose, or we can give ourselves to try to, in the words of David, perfect evil. I also thought about, you know, the general who passed and all the mystery surrounding his death. And I think about our political environment right now. Elections coming up, and all the politicians are worried about their positions and trying to keep those positions in whatever way possible, whether by hook or crook. David lives his life conscious of God. He knows his life is not really the end of everything. He does not have in himself every answer. And he's thinking about his enemies who actually want his life. They do that like nobody's seeing. They speak to heart. They encourage themselves in evil. And a lot of people do that. But never, never forget. Let's never forget that this life is but for a moment. And as one is planning the fall of the other, let's be aware that even the other has a life to live. When enemies are planning for the downfall of the innocent, they forget that their own life will soon come to an end. In fact, there's an article somebody wrote that, you know, the death of the general should sober up our leaders to the fact that someday you'll be gone. You may take a flight in first class, but come back in a cargo compartment. I mean, that is just the frailty of life. It's a vapor. It's here and it's gone. And if we live our lives conscious of God's presence and God's involvement in this world, it causes us to look at things and even act differently. If we think about God making us and putting us in this world, and all we can do is plan somebody's downfall, then we missed it. At the end of the day, we all of us will be accountable to God. And that's why David says in verse 7, but God, that negates all the evil plans and minds and hearts of the wicked who do not know God. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. Those who think they can do evil, nobody is seeing in their mind, forget that God himself is watching. God himself, in his mighty ways, will deal with those who innocently plan the harm or even harm the innocent. He will make them stumble over their own tongue. They wake up and they say things, all right? Maybe then, for example, you know, giving an example in politics, when politicians are in their positions, they think they'll never leave. So they make it a point to make opponents uncomfortable, right? But what happens one day when you are removed from your comfort seat and you also have to face tear gas when you are the very one who are part of that system? Don't you, in the words of David, stumble over your own tongue, the things that you said? All men shall fear. When one of the most shocking things about life is death, all right? When God finally withdraws his breath upon a human being, it's very sobering. David says, all men shall fear. When we see God act against wickedness, the wickedness against the innocent, there's no way, no other way to respond but to just stand there in fear. First of all, shocked that God finally takes action. But also fearing that, you know what? This life is so fragile. You can wake up and cause chaos on the innocent all your life. It will just take something very small to ground you. Just a minor sickness. A minor arrow. All men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. The other thing amidst all this that we talk about in this psalm is the beauty that God creates out of a very ugly situation. David starts off crying. He's in tears. He's in fear. He's innocent. His life is in danger. But immediately he turns to God. Immediately he puts God in the picture. We have a beautiful psalm. We would not have it if he was not thinking about God. And tell you what, God can turn around every ugly situation into a beautiful song. We just have to be mindful of him. It gets very discouraging. It gets very exhausting to focus on everything wrong around you. All the wickedness, all the enemies, all the injustice. God will take care of it. And that makes a difference. Let them continue doing their injustice. Let them continue doing their evil. Let them continue planning their wickedness. Put God in the picture. And first of all, that will not only change you, but it will change your perspective on things. It's going to change your perspective on life, knowing God is actively involved, and one day he will act. That also will give you hope and strength. That maybe you may be the victim of the injustice, of the wickedness. You may be the victim of those sharp arrows and words shooting at you. But God will quench them. God will stop them. And out of the fear and agony and grief and tears that David goes through, the moment he factors in God, it is a beautiful psalm that we have now. And at the end, he says in verse 10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory, shall look beautiful. We can, as we trust in the Lord, be glad in him because we know he's in control. We can, we the righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, can glory and should glory in the fact that God is in control. Amidst all the dust, amidst all the fire, all the dark clouds, all the darkness, we can still look beautiful and glory in the Lord. In Psalm 65, the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song, praise awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and you, the vow, to you rather, the vow shall be performed, O you who hear prayer. To you all flesh will come. Iniquities prevail against me. For as, as for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. You shall be satisfied in the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds and righteousness you will answer us, O God of us, God of our salvation. You who are the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of the far seas, who established the mountains by the strength, by his strength, being clothed with power, you who still the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, the tumult of the peoples, they also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You crown the year with goodness. Your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. They drop in the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Look at how beautifully David puts a normal daily experience in a beautiful song. He's just thinking about the rain, right? He's thinking about the grain, rice, crops. He's thinking about rivers. He's thinking about furrows. Plants that grow. He factors in God in everything he sees. And at the end of the day, he says, everybody should praise you. Everyone should talk about your goodness. Not just to humans, but to the creation that we all see. He first of all deals with the issue of sin. This must have been written probably when David was going to the temple, the tabernacle in his day, to make an offering to the Lord, a crop offering, a grain offering to the Lord. And it would be made for the covering of sin. And he says, first of all, praise awaiting your God in Zion, and you, and to you, the vow shall be performed. He made a promise to the Lord. And he says, God, in Jerusalem, praise is waiting for you. I am going there, and I'm all ready to worship. Why? Because you hear prayer. To you all flesh will come, iniquities prevail against me, as for you, as for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. As he's thinking about going to Jerusalem to praise God, the one thing he wants to do is to go there to make an offering for his sinfulness. And he is so weighed down by sin, and thankfully he has a solution. All he has to do is make an offering to the Lord for this, for the covering of his sin. The great thing about our faith is that we can take anything that weighs us down to the Lord, even if it's sin, especially personal sin. In some places, it talks about the sins of his people, Israelites. In some places, it talks about the sins of God's enemies. He talks about the sins of his enemies. But now he talks about his own personal sin. And this is one of the most difficult things to deal with as humans. Individual sin. We can hide it. We can suppress it. We can ignore it. We can do whatever we want to do with it. It will always be on our shoulder. It's almost like the clothes that we wear. We cannot leave them behind. You have to put them on. And sometimes the pattern of your life depends on how you deal with individual sin. What do you do with your sinful mind and sinful heart? What do you do with your heart's inclination to sin? Now we can go a little ahead of sin and think about the cross. All right? As David was making this sacrifice in the Old Testament, he must have been mindful of the day sin would be wiped out by the death of Jesus Christ. He says, as for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. The great thing about the Christian faith is that there is covering for our sin. You can try to cover it. It will still show. Remember Adam and Eve? They did something wrong. They sinned. And they thought they could cover their sinfulness just by making some leaves, clothes out of leaves. There is one person who sees beyond those clothes. He sees beyond the face that you wear. He sees beyond the way you act. He sees our sinfulness. Now the problem is actually not our sinfulness. It is how we respond with our sin. Makes me think of the one time he was caught eventually in the altar. What had he tried to do? He first denied. He was very quick to pronounce judgment on the person, right? Not knowing the person was actually himself. But eventually he broke down and wrote a song out of it. Psalm 51. This Christian life that we walk is going to take up a particular pattern. And that pattern depends on how you deal with your personal sin. And we deal with this all the time, and we see it everywhere. The first instinct is deny. I have done nothing wrong. All right? It is the other person's fault. Second instinct, let me just cover it. All right? I told a lie. I'm going to tell another lie to cover the first lie. But eventually, you're going to run short of lies. A third instinct, just ignore it. Just pretend nothing is wrong. All right? You offended somebody, you just want to pretend nothing is wrong. All right? Now you realize that the farther you go in dealing with your sin the right way, the harder your mind and heart becomes. Eventually, you're going to be completely indifferent to sin. You can do something completely wrong and you won't have a problem with it. And it all starts with doing one and failing to deal with it the biblical way. The biblical way is taking that sin to the cross, admitting there's a big problem that God needs to deal with. And thankfully, it is the Lord. All right? Before anybody knows it, before anybody knows that you've sinned, God knows it. And that's where we should run first. God, I have done something so sinful. Please forgive me. Something that I never want anybody to discover. And sometimes when you do that, God's covering is enough for the sin not to go public. But the moment you fail to deal with private, personal, individual sin, tell you what, somebody else is going to know. I guarantee you, we all know that. We've all done something and we fail to deal with it, and eventually somebody else gets to know. David has probably learned his lessons, and he says, you know what, I know where to take sin. I'm going to take my offering, and that's what they did in the Old Testament. I'm going to present my sinfulness to the Lord, and thankfully there is covering. God is not going to embarrass you or shame you. He's going to forgive you and cleanse you, and he'll obviously tell you, please keep away from it. It's not good for you. And he says, blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. Only the pure in heart would come close to the Lord in the Old Testament. If you approached the temple, the tabernacle, with some sinful habit that is not dealt with, it was instant death, even for the priests. That is how sin is serious before God's eyes. People died just because they approached God with something that they had not dealt with. And David says, you know what, I'm going to approach you. I know I'm a sinner, and I'm so blessed that I get to come close to you. I'm so blessed that I get to be chosen to be among those who come close to you, that live in your compound. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. We shall be satisfied when we see your goodness, when you pronounce your goodness upon us. And this is, by awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us. I like that. And what are the awesome deeds? It says, oh, God of our salvation, first of all, help, whatever help, help with sin, salvation, you who are the confidence of the ends of the earth. And then it talks about God functioning in even a plant that needs some rain to grow. You see that? You visit the earth. Each time we see rain, practically God is visiting the earth with his goodness. He says here that you enrich it in verse 9. The river of God is full of water. You provide the grain, for so you have prepared it. You water the ridges abundantly. You say to the furrows, he takes care of everything that makes a plant grow. from the sunshine to the soil to the rain. You crown the air with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. At the end of the year, just look at the goodness of the Lord all through. At the end of the year, it's almost like a crown. You've seen his goodness all through. It says, they drop in the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. As if when these plants are receiving rain, they're just happy. If they could speak, they would say, God, thank you so much for the rain. It feels so good for that water to be dripping from the sky. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. The grass sing, don't they? Have you ever passed through a very grassy route? The sound of the wind blowing the grass makes some noise, and as if they're saying, praise the Lord. They're happy. They also sing. We can miss a lot in this world, even when it's raining, if we don't factor in God. You may plan out your day, and rain interrupts your day, and you're thinking it is completely the wrong time for that rain to fall. You know what the psalmist says? He says, actually, God is visiting the earth. He knows there's need for rain, so he causes it to fall down. It may inconvenience you, but it's a special visit, especially for the plants and for all of us. Don't we feed on the harvest of those plants? Obviously, we do. In Psalm 66, to the chief musician, a psalm, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works, to the greatness of your power. Your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Selah, pause and think about that. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. They will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah, think about that. Oh, bless our God, your peoples, and make the voice of his praises to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to reach fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pray, but I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of the rams. I'll offer bulls with goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare that he has done for my soul. I cry to him with my mouth, and he has extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Almost like an instruction, make joyful noises of praise to the Lord. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. He's been talking about the grass making joyful praise, the plants as they grow. Sing out the honor of his name. And now he talks to us, doesn't talk to the plants. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works, to the greatness of your power, and enemies shall submit to you. Then he thinks about, as expressing this praise and instructing this praise, he thinks about their history, how they crossed the sea on dry land, God parting the waters, just talking about his greatness. A lot of people have tried to describe what exactly happened, not factoring in God. They say there was this wave, this storm, this whirlwind that all of a sudden happened. You know what a whirlwind does? It splits wherever it goes. If it's a bush, you'll almost see the plants almost being separated. So this whirlwind happened. You know it happens in normal life. This whirlwind happens and progressively parted the sea. Now, of course, these are secularists who remove God from the picture. There's no whirlwind that has done that in history. Not observed anywhere. All right? In fact, whirlwinds are so uncontrolled, they don't produce any positive energy. All they do is destroy. David knew, and of course it's true, that it was God who allowed the waters to part in his power. He told Moses, you strike the water and it will part. And God did it. And he says, we walked on dry land. We went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. He's thinking about their Egyptian enemies who are pursuing them to kill them. And he said, God did not allow that. Now you think God is going to allow the wicked to get away with it today? No, obviously he won't. Time is coming when they'll get their punishment. So he thinks about their history. And in verse 8 he says, oh, bless our God, you peoples, make the voice of his praise to be heard. Let's praise God so that everybody hears. Who keeps our soul among the living? He gives you reason too. He gives you life. He does not allow your feet to be moved. You're firmly founded on him. I hope you are. Because if you are firmly on the Lord, he will not allow you to be blown away. He talks about God's refining experience. All right? The Jews have gone through fires. David said, that was just to make us pure. We go through fires and the Lord allows us to go through fire just to make us pure. He caused us to be ran over by other men, almost running on their backs. They were slaves. He says, we went through water and we went through fire, but you brought us out to reach. It's not very pleasant when you're going through water that are almost drowning. You're going through fire that's almost burning you up. But I tell you what, God is leading you to fulfillment. He's leading you, he's leading us to the place where he wants us. And David says, we went through fire, we went through slavery, we went through water, we almost drowned. But God, you are leading us to a place that you want us. And don't ever take for granted every fire and every water that you go through. Because through the process, God is taking you where he wants you to be. For them, it was the promised land. For us, you know what the promised land is really is? Heaven. God is preparing us for heaven. And he allows all these things to happen to us so that we get our eyes off this world. We focus on heaven. There is no comfort in this world. We will look for it, we'll not find it. And that's why God always makes us uncomfortable in this world. You can look for the best place to live in, you won't be comfortable. Because we are not meant to be comfortable here. God is taking us where there is richness and satisfaction. I'll go into your house with burnt offerings. This is really worship. I'll go worship. I'll pay my vows. If I promised you a cow, Lord, I'll give it to you. A ram, a sheep, I'll burn it in your worship. I offer bulls and invite people, come and hear all you fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. We've talked about this before. Just invite people to your home. Invite them for an evening out. And all you do is say, come and hear the great things that God has done in my life. I just want to praise the Lord in your hearing. He takes us back to the discussion of sin that we started with in chapter 64. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. All right, back to the discussion on sin. If you don't give it to the Lord to deal with, it is going to hinder your relationship with Him. And He says, if there was some sin in my heart that I was hiding from God, my relationship with the Lord is not going to be very perfect. I am going to talk to Him, yes, but there's something that He sees that I know I'm supposed to deal with that is blocking the relationship. Even in friendship, any partnership, once there is sin in between, the relationship won't be the best. And if there is somebody that we should never hide sin from, it's God, because He sees it. And if we are hiding any sin from God, David said He wouldn't have answered my prayer the way I wanted Him to. He wouldn't have said yes if I wanted Him to say yes. See, sin hinders our communication to God, and sometimes it actually hinders the answer that you want to hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to my voice, to the voice of my prayer. And He says, blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. And lastly, in Psalm 67, to the chief musician on stringed instruments, a song not attributed to David. Another psalmist here. Maybe. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. For let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. He's probably thinking about harvest time. They have harvested so much maize or rice or figs, and he just blesses the Lord for that. The increase that the earth had yielded. Let us praise the Lord. Let us sing to the Lord in praise. Let us do anything for the Lord as an act of praise to Him, as David instructs here, and he says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy in praising the Lord. That's what we do all the time. And we shouldn't stop to do that just when we're here at church, but anywhere. Nobody will judge you that you're off tune. Just make a joyful noise to the Lord. God will make sense out of that noise. He mentioned something that is actually noted in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. If you can go back to Numbers chapter 6. It was the high priestly blessing. When people gathered, the high priest would send them off with those words. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In a way, David pronounces blessing upon his nation. May God bless us, he says. God bless us. Be merciful to us. and cause his face to shine upon us. That is his face of favor. He's basically saying, may God smile upon us. May God give us what we're looking for. That he may be known. That your way may be known on the earth and your salvation among the nations. That his ways may be known on the earth and his salvation among the nations. And he continuously throughout chapter 6, 7, let people praise the Lord. Let the peoples praise the Lord. Let the peoples praise the Lord. A few things that we take away today from this psalm that we've gone through. One, make sure you deal with your personal sin. Take it to the Lord. He is the one who deals with it the most and the best. Because he's the one who sees it when you're trying to hide it from everybody else. He sees it. Your failure to deal with it personally and privately with the Lord is going to not only hinder your relationship with him, but most likely it is going to spread. Somebody else is going to know. One of the things, personally, I'll tell you my secret. One of the things that keeps me away from sin is the fact that God may tell somebody else that I'm doing something wrong. Do you know that? That God may actually reveal to somebody else that you're living a sinful, unrepentant life. That scares me from sin. I don't want to do anything wrong that God is going to tell somebody else. It is very embarrassing. And immediately I do something wrong, I run to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. Please forgive me. Cleanse me. You know, clear my mind and heart. Remove it. Secondly, let's factor God in everything that we see. All right? We see wickedness. Yes, it's there. But God is still involved. We may see the rain as an interruption to our day. It ruined our day. It ruined our wedding. It ruined our plans. God is visiting the earth even through rain. The grass, the plants are rejoicing. We even feed on them. How shall they grow if the rain does not fall? And thirdly, a lifestyle of praise. God, David said, took us through fires. We almost drowned. We were slaves. But he was writing a praise song to his honor. And he looks back and realizes God was actually involved. And we will praise him for that. He saved us. He led us. We have a great testimony that we saw God work through us, lead us and guide us miraculously. And that makes him deserve our praises. And he says multiple times, just praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord. May God cause every situation that we go through to turn out to be actually a beautiful song of praise. All right, even in tears, David cries out to the Lord. David gets discouraged quite often. David is a sinner just like us. He's a soldier afraid of his enemies. But the moment he factors in God, the moment his perspective has God, he's ready to go through whatever is ahead of him. Lord, thank you so much for making provision for our sin. Not just covering it, but washing it away. The blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, each one of us is fighting sin. Lord, you are the one we should run to for help, for forgiveness, for cleansing. You're the one who sees our sin more than anybody else. Lord, forgive us. Cleanse us. Lord, thank you so much for just writing a wonderful song in every situation we go through, out of every experience we have with you. Lord, just like David, we can cry, we can complain, we can get discouraged, we can weep, we can grieve. But God, through that, a beautiful song is being written. You're refining us and leading us to satisfaction. You're leading us to heaven. Lord, we see one recurring theme through the Psalms. It's praise to you. And he mentions here, because of life, you give us life, and because you purify us, because you're leading us, because you provide for us, because you cause the rain to fall down, water the grass and plants that we get food from. Lord, may we daily wake up to praise you. When we see a sunrise, we see your faithfulness, and that alone should cause us to praise you for your faithfulness. We see the clouds gather. Lord, we see rain fall. We see the green flourish, oh God. That is your goodness. And so you deserve to be praised. In Jesus' name. You know, particularly talking about sin, one of the ways the Bible tells us to battle it is to confess it to one another and to pray for one another for strength. And if you're out there struggling with something, please don't go away with the same burden. You can come for prayer and leave that sin on the cross, confessing it to one another. I'll be up here. Pastor Paul is out here. Maggie's here. If your lady wants to confide in another lady. But we have to take this battle against sin seriously, and thankfully, victory is ours. Amen. Mm-hmm.